Parshas Lech Lecha begins with Hashem saying to Abraham, go for yourself, Lech Lecha, from your land, from your relatives, and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes all these promises, that I will make of you a great nation, I will bless you, and I will make your name great. This pasuk of Lech Lecha is the first pasuk where we really see HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacting with Amar Avinu. According to some, this is the second of the nisyonos, the second of the tests that Avram Avinu was given, the first being the fiery furnace of Ur Kasdim. According to others, this is indeed the first test of Avram Avinu. And the question becomes, well, what exactly is this test? So according to the most normative view, the test is exactly as the pasuk tells us, of leaving his homeland, his father's house, and going to the land of the unknown. It's interesting, in the Sefer Vayomer Yehuda, he goes through the Asar Nisyonos, the 10 tests, and he expresses how each one of these tests has left an imprint on the Jewish people until today. And he notes, I've photocopied here the first six, by the bays, by the asterisks, he says, in the Nisayon of Lech Lecha, Shelo Idia Lo Lechan Lelechet, they didn't tell him where to go, but only to a land that I will show you, Hitmale Libo Kmiha V'Ava Gdola L'Eretz Yisrael, filled Avraham Avinu with tremendous longing and yearning for the land of Israel. And he says, and is this, V'kach Anu Kibalnu Kmiha Atzuma L'Alot L'Eretz Yisrael. And it was from this yearning and longing that we, his descendants, so too we have a yearning and longing for Eretz Yisrael. And he says, V'am Yisrael B'dor Hazeh, particularly in this generation, V'yomer Yehuda is contemporary. He says, Shav L'Eretz Yisrael is returning to its land, Mitoch Miha Gdola, with a tremendous amount of yearning, V'hi Yerushalanu Avraham Avinu Olav HaShalom, and this is something we've inherited from Avraham Avinu Olav HaShalom. And I invite any of you, if you're ever here during the summer, if you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, haven't made the big step yet, and to watch a Nefesh B'Nefesh flight come in, the emotion of the people coming off the plane, of making Aliyah to Israel, and the emotions of the people in this country welcoming new Olim is something that no words can even describe. And when you see such packed emotion of people literally uprooting their homes, their families, to come to Eretz Yisrael, you understand that this love and this yearning and this strength to do this, to make this tremendous move to the land that we know it's the first, it's a place that Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu and tells his children to belong to. This is a Yerusha, an inheritance from Avraham Avinu from this Nisayu. I'll just make mention, because it's very contemporary in terms of the political situation. In number six, he says the war with the five kings and the four kings, and Avraham Avinu going out and saving Lot, as Hishri Shpanu Mitzvah Pidyon Shvuyim, has really embedded in us the importance of the mitzvah of redeeming captives. The chol mechir at any cost. Just like Avraham Avinu went out to get low with his own body, and he put himself in danger. He says, even today, Am Yisrael mahader b'zeh muchanim l'achlif alfei goyim avor yudi achad v'chol zeh yusham Avraham Avinu olav shalom. The fact that Jews, and we've seen this today, we see this with Gilad Shalit as an example, where the Israeli government is ready to give, you know, literally tens or thousands of prisoners for one Jewish soldier. People look at this and say, is this a fair exchange? This is something we learned from Avraham Avinu. To save Lot, to save one individual, to save one Jewish soul will go to all extents. And this is how we view every single Jew, every single person who's in danger. We go out of our way to be able to do the mitzvah pidyon shvuyim to try to release these captives. Having said this, one Amir Sashem focused on a certain aspect of the Nisayon, and that is the way Rashi describes for us in source number 3, Lech Lecha. So Rashi notes that the Lecha to you is extra. Lech, go, would be sufficient. So Rashi teaches us, what is Lecha? It means go for your own benefit and for your own good. In Hebrew, La'anatcha u'lotovatcha, for your benefit and for your good. Where you are, you're not worthy of having children and a great name, etc. Come to Israel and all these blessings will be bestowed upon you. Lech lecha, go for yourself. It's going to be of tremendous benefit for you and tremendous goodness for you if you go to the land of Israel. On this, the Mefarshim asks, and the Siva Shalom is one way to l'naseach et ha-sheila, to formulate the question. He says, uveyoter in source 4, kashe. It's further difficult. Darei zen nechshav ben asara nisyono shinit nasa b'im Avraham Avinu. This is one of the 10 trials Avraham Avinu was faced with. V'alo behold, achar shakarish baruch hu hivtichot brachot rabot v'gdolo ka'elo. Once Hashem has given you such great promises, mao godol nisayon v'seh. What is the great challenge in this, right? If somebody 7 years ago had said to me, Shira, why don't you go to the land of Israel and I'll make you a millionaire and bless you with children and everything's going to be good for you. So is that a challenge for me to pick up and say, okay, I'm leaving my job and my family and my friends and I'm going to Israel? It's no sweat. Wow. If someone's going to make a promise like that, of course you're going to go. So ask them, Siva Shalom and Urachayim HaKadosh asked them much earlier, many Mefarshim, what exactly is the Nisayon? What exactly is the challenge? When he's told, Lech Lecha, go. But at the very moment he's told to go, he's given the promise in the same breath, Lehanatcha l'tovatcha, it's going to be for your benefit and for your good. So what's the Nisayon? What's the challenge? What's the test? So the Rechaim HaKadosh responds, and the Darchei Musar, more contemporary way, develops this, and this is source number 5, is that Avram halach biglaud sivui Hashem yiparach, v'lo biglal haftachol tshuftachu lo k'mo she'namar v'yelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem. When Avram Avinu went, he didn't go because of all the promises of all the great things that were going to be granted to him. His going was purely because Hashem commanded him. This is what we would say, is he's doing it l'shem shemayim, for the sake of heaven, and he was not interested in all the wonderful things that came along with this package. It was totally for the sake of Shemayim. The Nesiv HaShalom, developing this idea, notes on the next page where he says, V'af kilafi, in the middle of 6, Madrega ruchani ilai kazo, halach Avraham kasher diber elav Hashem. On a very high spiritual level, Avraham Avinu went, Sheino chafetz lo begashmetz v'lo beruchnius. He wasn't interested in the physical promises or in the spiritual promises. Ella kasher diber elav Hashem, he was only interested, Hashem told me to go, I'm ready to go. V'zehu lo dia chibato shel Avraham Avinu. This is to teach us the great love of Avraham Avinu had to Hashem. Et goldo chavivato v'avato l'Hashem yitbarach. His tremendous love and desire he had for Hashem. Clearly, if I were to go, I'd be going for all the monetary benefits and all the other good things that were promised. But says in Siva Shalom, the Rechaim HaKadosh, what we're saying here is that Avraham Avinu completely ignored all these promises. The only motivating factor for him to go was his tremendous love and passion for Hashem. And he quotes this great Hasidic word in the next piece. He says, it's no wonder that Avraham Avinu didn't get burned in Ur Kasdim. The bigger wonder is, why didn't Ur Kasdim, why wasn't it burned from the passion and love that Avraham Avinu displayed toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that indeed, notes in the Siv HaShalom in source number 7, responds to a very important question that many ask. We know that Avraham Avinu was tested with 10 nisyonos, with 10 major trials. The 10th, according to most of Farshim, is the Akedah. So a question that some people ask is, Lo Aleinu, we have found in Jewish history, unfortunately, that people have taken the Akedah much farther than Avraham Avinu. People have given up their lives, their family lives, for the name of Hashem. The Akedah, so to speak, had a happy ending. Yitzchak came out of it alive. So we look at Avraham Avinu, these are tremendous tests, no doubt about it, but did not people go through even greater tests than this? What was so special about the tests of Avraham Avinu that we hold them up to be our model? And the Siva Shalom clearly says, what is this? He says, Aval ein mi, in the underline in 7, Sheachol li damote la bitlavush be'esh hakodesh shasa taketa. It's not only a question of going through the motions. It's not only a question of the end result. The question is, do we have the same passion, the same love, the same intensity of love to a Kodesh Baruch Hu that Avraham Avinu displayed? And he quotes the Medrash on Shochar Tov on the Pasuk in Tehillim, B'mitzvosav chafetz ma'od, right before 8, and my mitzvos I've desired so much, shasa mitzvos b'simcha. Avraham Avinu, when he did the mitzvos, there was a passion, there was a joy. When Hashem said, Lech Lecha, he went immediately like Hashem commanded. And he notes this at the end of 9. When there is this belovedness, there's everything. And without this belovedness, there's absolutely nothing. This is the first level, the first understanding. What was the nisayon? What was the test that Avraham Avinu went? Not because of what was promised him. He went because Hashem commanded. And this is a test to test his loyalty, to test his love, to test his chavivus, his belovedness to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And it's interesting, the Chovos HaTalmidim, the Eish Kodesh, whose yahrzeit was last week, in his Chovos HaTalmidim, in his Hakdama, when he talks about the model student, and source number 10, he says, and this is such a beautiful piece, he says, Valzo banu elecha ben yakir, my dear son, vanrotim anu lasot mimcha, what do we want from you? Chein hashchinal panecha yair, the grace of Hashem's presence should be glowing on your face. Mochacha, your mind, libcha, your heart, v'chol aterecha, and all your limbs, l'tara v'varas Hashem yiptachu, they should be opened for Torah, for the service of Hashem. Libcha v'nafshecha v'kirvas alokim, your heart, your soul should be about connecting to Hashem, asher ayatcha yagishu, and that's the operative word here, they should be felt by you. And all of your bakashos, all of your requests should be like a son who goes to his beloved father. On the first level, the message for us is when a Kadosh Baruch Hu commands us to do something, it's not the question, okay, what am I getting out of it? Right? You know, a kid asks, you know, mother says, can you do something? The kid says, what do you want me to do? Why do you want me to do it? If I do it, what are you going to give me if I do it? Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he tells us to do something, our response is, I love you, Hashem, and I'm ready to do whatever you want, even if there is no reward. The reward itself is relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the obvious question that we have on this approach is, so Kadosh Baruch Hu promises you good things, and the nisayon, the challenge is that you don't even look at the promises. But it seems almost so chaval. It's such a shame. If Hashem gives you these promises, they're only there for you to ignore them, to challenge you whether you're going to listen to them or not. So the Shvilei Pinchas, who's the Belzer Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Pinchas Friedman, notes a very interesting approach to this question. And he quotes here the Ohel of Yisrael, the After Rav, who's Kever, I had the schus of visiting and davening at this summer. He's buried right near the Baal Shem Tov. He notes in source number 13 the following. He says, Omnam Avram Avinu Lava Shalom Lagodul Sidkato Machshvato Zachav Nikiya Hevin Shelo Zehu Aderech Hatov Vayashar B'nei Elokim Lasot Tzivui U'Pikduto Avor Matzponei Tavot. Avram Avinu clearly understood in his understanding that to do things because you're going to get a reward is not the way to do this. Kizeinu Nikra Avedet Hashem Yitbarach Rak Avedet La'atzmo Avor Tovato, because that's not service of God. That's service of yourself, what you're going to benefit from it. But he understood that if he doesn't begin to at least convince the Yetzer Hara to do the will of Hashem by saying, ah, you're going to get something out of it, the Yetzer Hara is not going to move. So it says the Ohel of Yisrael, Avinu turned to the Yetzer Hara and said, Yetzer Hara, let me tell you, Hashem asked me to do something and it's going to be good for us. Yetzer Hara says, great, let's go for it. As soon as he goes for it, he was able to distance himself from this evil inclination and say, no, I'm not doing it for the material benefit. I'm not doing it for what I can get out of it. I'm doing it solely to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, this is a ploy to use with the Yetzer Hara. Nimsa, the end of 15. Ki mashe katev ha'ov Yisrael, ki peirush ha'achad shevi Rashi, hu miptiyei Yetzer Hara. This is the way that the Yetzer Hara was able, that Avraham was able to get the Yetzer Hara to do Ritzon Hashem. And from that, he used this to then move to a higher level. And he says, this is how we understand in 17, La'olam yasok adam b'Torah mitzvos. A person should always be involved in Torah mitzvos, af al pi shelo lishma, even if it's not for the sake of heaven. Should we tell Shelo Lishma, Baal Lishma, because coming from Lo Lishma with not good intentions, you ultimately come to good intention. And says the Shvilei Pinchas in 18, now we understand in depth Why Hashem says, Lech lecha la'anatcha l'tovatcha. This is for your greatest good. What is for your greatest good? I'm teaching you how to work with the Yetzer Hara. Let me give you 101, how to deal with evil inclination. This is for your good. How do you deal with it? You start by telling your inclination, it's shelo lishma. It's not for the sake of heaven. You tell your evil inclination what you're going to get out of it. Your inclination buys it. It's ready. It packs up, gets on that LL plane. Once you're on the plane, right, it's a little bit too late to then jump out, turn around. You then turn around and you say, sorry, evil inclination, I dupe you. That's not why I'm going. I'm going for the ruchnius. I'm going for relationship with Hashem. And that's the deeper understanding of la'anatcha l'tovatcha, that I'm telling you how, what is for your benefit and your good, how to go to Eretz Yisrael, or how to do the will of Hashem. I think on this level of the old Yisrael, where la'anatcha l'tovatcha, we don't ignore it completely, we utilize it as a medium of working with the evil inclination. I think one of the lessons, aside from 101, working with the evil inclination, which may work sometimes for us as well, but what I do think it does for us is it at least opens ourselves up to the reality that the evil inclination has to be dealt with. I think what happens so often is, and this is dealt with in Rebbetzin Heller and Sarah Rigler's new book, Battle Plans, what happens is similarly defeating the Yetzer Hara requires a clear ultimate goal. Too often we fight our battles without relating to them to the goal of the whole war. We try not to get angry, not to lie, not to give in to laziness, but it's all, you know, like a hodgepodge. We don't have a clear goal or a clear battle plan on how to deal with our Yetzer Hara. Just as an aside, in the book they give you like a pull-out card, which tells you the different aspects, boredom, laziness, anger, and then it tells you which battle plans in the book are best to use for these things. So you have a quick guide, right? Your kid is running a tantrum. Hold up the card. Okay, what number do I have to read? Quickly, let's read this so I know how to deal with this Yetzer Hara, whatever it is. But it's an important cipher because, again, at least it allows us to focus, and it's a much greater question. Do we deal with the Yetzer Hara? Do we just like, you know, when it attacks us, we feel it's come out of nowhere and we don't have a plan of response? Or are we able to be able to respond appropriately? I've chosen as one example, which I think is an important one, of how to deal with the Yetzer Hara, is the idea of being able to see the larger picture. She notes here, now, what is the larger picture in this world? And she quotes different, the Gedolei Yisrael, whether it's the Ramchal, whether it's the Gra, whether it's the Hasidic masters, but the goal of life, it's a spiritual goal that requires striving to draw closer to Hashem, and each one articulates it slightly different. And she notes, and this is source 20, and this next line I think could be another great refrigerator magnet, as Rabbi Leib Kellerman is wont to say, closeness in the physical world is measured by distance, and closeness in the spiritual world is measured by similarity. Thus, to draw closer to Hashem means to become more like Him and His midos that He has revealed to us. This requires working on one's midos, and this light, the Graz definition or the goal, is the same as the others. Now, when we take a look at our lives, she notes that all the events of daily life can either have intrinsic or extrinsic value. Intrinsic value means that the activity is a goal in itself, like supervising the plumber, having the pipe fixed, or balancing a checkbook, or feeding the baby. Intrinsic value means you're doing X, Y, and Z because X, Y, and Z has to get done. But in 21, extrinsic value means that each activity has value because it contributes to a larger whole than its purpose. If the purpose of life is to draw closer to Hashem, for example, then fixing the pipe or compiling the report or feeding the baby or balancing the checkbook is a component of an overarching life's mission. They are connected to one another in the same way that the steering wheel, the spark plugs, the gas gauge are all part of the same automobile. And she notes that this is really the difference between the Yetzer Hara, which is very into the concept of peirut, divisiveness, diversity. Just focus on this and don't think about anything else. Right now you're dealing with the kid's tantrum and that is blown out of proportion, right? The checkbook that's not balanced and nothing else comes into your mind. What we have to be able to do is get a certain perspective of wholeness and see this as just a larger part of the picture. And the example that she gives is the example, she gives this example a number of times. She must have a lot of problems, or they must have problems with their pipes, of a person who's contracted to fix the pipes. So let's say for a leak. So let's say you agree on a price beforehand. Great. So no matter how long it takes him, that was the agreed price. Well, let's say you pay him per hour. So in your mind, you think it should have been a two-hour job. He takes 4 hours and gives you a bill for 4 hours. You say to him, it should have taken you 2 hours. You're slow. You're incompetent. That's why it took you 4 hours, but I'm only going to pay you 2 hours. Okay, I'll compromise to 3 hours. The truth is, the halacha is that you have to pay a worker what his fee is. And if he's worked for 4 hours, then halachically you have to pay him for 4 hours. And this, of course, is, again, how you look at things. The bill in your hand assumes gigantic proportions until everything disappears from view, except this big, unaffordable bill. But the Ramchal, the Aaron 27, would advise, step back. See the whole picture. If your goal in life is to draw close to Hashem by doing mitzvos, where do the plumber and his bill fit into that? It turns out that this mundane activity is really an opportunity to bond with Hashem by fulfilling the mitzvos pertaining to honesty and business. Seen in that context, your temptation not to pay the full amount would take you further away from your true goal. The big bill shrinks down to size as your true goal looms larger and larger. And that's why she notes, this battle plan has two steps. Define your ultimate goal in life, and this ultimate goal is even bigger and greater than you and your possessions. It's a transcendent goal. And then zoom out until the situation you're confronting is visible as part of a larger picture that includes your true goal. When you're able to see this, then you're able to deal with the Yetzer Hara on a totally different level than you're just zooming in on this particular problem. The example they give us, I think an example we all can relate to. It's like, somebody gets engaged and you say to them, can you send me a picture of the chas and kala together? So they send you a picture, which the file is way too big. So when you download it, all you see are like the eyes and part of the nose, like taking up the entire screen. So you say, wow, nice bridge, but like, this is what the chas and kala looks like. So what you have to do is zoom out till you see the entire picture. So often when the Yetzer Hara gets us, whether it's over a bill, whether it's over a child, whether it's over a boss, and everyone, a neighbor, whatever situation that we're in our life, all we see is that bridge on that nose. Whoa, that nose big, and it's staring us straight in the face. When you're able to zoom out, you're able to see the whole face, the whole picture literally, and then you're able to get a perspective, you're able to get a grip. Okay, so we have the first understanding, Lahanat Chal Tovetcha, just ignore it, do it for the sake of God. The second is, no, it's for your benefit. When you ignore it by listening and then ignoring it, that's your benefit, because that is the way of working against the evil inclination. But our question still remains. Rosh Baruch Hu told him that it's going to be for his benefit for him to ignore it, to use it for the Yetzer Hara. It would seem that if God's giving you good things, enjoy it. And that indeed is the third level of our ladder of understanding La'anatcha L'tovatcha Rav Lugavsky B'yam Derech. In this larger piece, he asks a very fundamental question about the Avos HaKadoshim. He says, we know that we're supposed to say, when are our deeds going to mirror that of our great forefathers? But we never see how our forefathers got to be who they were. We have to learn from what the Torah does tell us to get a sense of who and what they are. Rav Lugavsky posits that a large amount of the Chumash is spent on the material wealth, on the tzon and baka, on the cattle, on the livestock that our avos had. And he notes that he says it's because in Cain 25, ha'avos ha'kadoshim, shin brahu be'osher be'mikne laro, be'vadai l'lo sofek shin itzlu shefazeh l'kadei shem shemayim. They're doing it in order to sanctify Hashem's name. And they're using, the Torah uses this as a model of telling us, what does it mean to take your physical assets in this world and be able to elevate them, be able to use them for the service of God? And he says this in 27 is the nisayon of Avraham Avinu. It wasn't some type of plan to lure him into the land. The lahanatcha l'tovatcha, Kadosh Baruch Hu saying to Avraham Avinu, I'm going to make you exceedingly wealthy. He's referred to as a Nesi Elokim b'Kirbeinu, a prince of God among their midst by B'nei Chayt. He is given a tremendous amount of wealth, and that is his challenge. His challenge is, how is he going to use the wealth in order to serve Hashem? Yes, it's going to be la'anatcha l'tovatcha, it's going to be for your benefit. But the challenge is, how do you use your benefit in order to be able to serve Hashem? How are you going to be able to use it in order to be able to elevate the physical aspects of this world to do avodas Hashem? And that is why in 28, when Melech Stone wants to reward him with a lot of money, Avraham Avinu refuses. He says, I don't want you to say that you made me rich. My wealth comes from Hashem, and my challenge is to use my wealth correctly. And in a real sense, this becomes such an important model for us. Money takes up an inordinate amount of our lives, of our focus, of who and what we are, our business dealing, doing things over the books, under the books, through the books. Are we honest people? Are we people who know how to use money, our wealth, the possessions we've been given? Are we able to use it in a spiritual sense, in an honest sense? That is what the Avos teach us. And it's interesting. The Biyam Derech brings as an example of this, a very famous Gemara, where, and this is in source number 30a and 30b, where Rabbi Hanani ben Tradja went to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, and he said to him, Ma ani, what am I for Olam Haba? Am I going to be a Ben Olam Haba? So his Rebbe says to him, tell me something you've done, and I'll tell you whether you'll be a Ben Olam Haba or not. It's like a little bit of a bizarre conversation. Hanani ben Tradja, we know, is this great, one of the Asara Rugei Malchus, one of the 10 martyrs, right, we're familiar with. The Sefer Torah was wrapped around him with a wet wool, and his students asked, what do you see? He says, I see the letters going up to heaven and just the parchment being burned. He taught Torah to the masses, even against the edicts of the Romans. I mean, what's his question? Am I a Ben Olam Haba? I mean, if Rabbi Hanani ben Tradja didn't ask this question, like, you know, where are we? Which maybe an important question, nonetheless. So the Gemara continues that Rabbi Hanani ben Tradjon tells Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma's Rabbi one story. He thinks, he says, can I tell you of anything extraordinary or something different? I'll tell you a story. He says, once on Purim, I had money in two pockets. So let's give this as an example just to concretize it. In my right pocket, let's say I had $500 of my own money. In my left pocket, I had a couple hundred dollars of stucco money. And by accident, without realizing it, thinking that it was, you know, the opposite, I took the $500 and I gave it to Stucca. And then I realized, hey, I give my own money to Stucca. I should have given the left-hand pocket. I gave the right-hand pocket. So what I could have done, halachically, was take out $500 from the Stucca money and reimburse myself, because I really didn't want to give my own money. I wanted to give the Stucca money. But instead of doing that, I gave my money, I gave the Stucca money, and I didn't reimburse myself. Right, Yosef ben Kisma hears this. He says, you know, my portion should be like your portion, and you zocha for Olam Haba. So what does this Gemara mean? So when it's interesting, we're going to see two understandings of it today. The first, in the Biyam Derech, he says, why was this such an extraordinary thing? You wouldn't think teaching Torah to thousands is something extraordinary. It is. But you want to know where a person is really tested, where we see about the Avos HaKadoshim. We hear about them making a mizbeach and calling the name of Hashem, but this wealth and ulav rami tiv bavura, all this wealth seems to take up an inordinate amount of space, because really where a person is tested is in the areas of money. If you're able to be honest with money and be able to utilize it, recognizing that the money really isn't yours, but the money ultimately belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's your obligation to use that money appropriately, and you're just, you know, a conduit to give the money that God has, you know, given you in the appropriate ways. So when Rabbi Hanani ben Tradjon is tested in the area of money, so then Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma says, you're Ben Olam Haba, you have that midah of the Avos. It's just something to think about, that, you know, they say a person is tested, Picasso, Bikiso, and his anger in his pocket. You want to test out where a person is at, see how they deal with their money. And you have a very good sense of where a person is at, and are they able to now have this ability of clarity of vision of what the point of money is all about. So this is our third level in the continuum. What is la'anatcha l'tovatcha? What does it mean for your benefit and for your good? it means that, yes, this is for your benefit and for your good. There's going to be a lot of money. There's going to be a lot of riches. Ah, what's the nishayon? What's the challenge? Are you going to be able to utilize that for the service of Hashem? The fourth, which we'll just mention, and then I want to work on the fifth, because it's this fifth level that was the clincher for me to build a whole shiur around this fifth level. But let's do the fourth first. The fourth level is based on the Tar Semes from Lebe Le'eger, who speaks about in source number 31 that the whole idea of Lech Lecha is Kabbalat O'Machut Shemayim, is to be able to accept the yoke of heaven, to do whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do. And he says, let's learn together in 33a. This is a test of eye vision here. Omnam, you don't have to go to an eye doctor, I'm doing it for you right now. Omnam l'dvarenu ikara ol, ma shekatuv hu shiamin be'emunah shlema, shayidei ze mekabel kol minei tovot hamitiin. V'zehu ha-kabbalah. He says, it's not enough that Hashem is making you these promises. You have to believe in these promises. You have to believe, that's kabbalat ol machut shamayim, is to receive. That a HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes these promises to Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes promises to us. But what's a nisayon? Do you believe in them and do you act according to them? And just a modern day corollary for our lives, the Gemara tells us that a person's money is measured out with Rosh Hashanah, from one year to the other, how much a person's going to make, except for how much you spend on Shabbos and Yontif. That is a separate bank account and Hashem pays you back. So that's the Gemara. That do we believe it? Do I say I'm going to buy the nicer bottle of wine, the more expensive flowers, the more whatever it is, because I know it's ultimately on Hashem's bank account? Or do we say, no, it's not part of my budget? Again, it's not just enough to know that there are these promises, but do we believe in these promises? Do we act according to these promises? That's the next level, the continuum, that yes, Avraham Avinu says, yes, they're great promises. And he goes knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to fulfill those promises without a doubt. The final level, and I think this is such a profound idea, and I'll be honest with you, I've been sharing this idea with a lot of people since I've read it, because it's had such a tremendous impact on me personally. So let's learn together Tiferet Shimshon with Shimshon Pinkas Hatzal on the parsha. Let's learn together 34. He says the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands him, Lech Lecha, V'hanatcha, L'tovatcha. He says, what does this mean? He says, those who say that he went L'shem Shemayim and not for his benefit, he says, but is that what Hashem really said? Hashem says, go L'hanatcha, L'tovatcha, go for your benefit. So to go because Hashem said, but not for his benefit, it's not really listening to what Hashem said. Ma ba kana Torah l'lamdeinu. Third paragraph. Kasher adam oseh maaseh chesed. When a person does an act of kindness, for example, gives money to a poor person. Munachim maaseh u'shnei chalakim. There are really two aspects. The first, the building you are building in this world by doing the act of chesed, the act of kindness of giving a poor person money. And the second, ulam nosaf al kach, hugam bonet yishut shilo, that not only we're building externally a building called chesed, we're building internally a structure of who at that oset atzmo lebal chesed. You're making yourself into an individual of chesed. He says, davar v'nei nitbonena. Now we ask ourselves, which of the two is more important? The outer ma'isa chesed or building yourself. So we would normally say, obviously, giving to others, we're altruistic, it's not about us, it's about others benefiting. He says, no, that's what Lech Lecha comes to teach you. Ha'ikar etzli, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the main point, says Hashem, humasha ta'ul seim atzmacha, Lech Lecha, for your benefit. Lahanatcha l'tovatcha, for your good and for your benefit, what you gain from it. What concerns me, what interests me, what's important for me is how you build yourself, how you build your personality. And he goes on and explains, Avraham Avinu is an ish chesed. And a person who is an ish chesed, a person of kindness, is called a chassi. And our rabbis tell us, Ezehu chassi, who is the real chassi? Hamit chassid im kolno, who kivyachol does chesed with Hashem. Now he says, Be'er Advarim Hu L'chorek Sachari. I'm about to say, he says, it's a little bit strong. of a mamash nifla, but tremendous, and I agree with that, tremendous. He says, giving real chesed is to give to somebody who is unable to get that thing for themselves. So to give somebody a candy, when he can, you know, it's 100 candies in his pocket or in his pantry, it's not a real chesed. If someone doesn't have a candy, and then you give them a candy, that's a real chesed. Now let's learn together, 36. Our rabbis tell us, Ezehu chesed, Maya Sharul so chesed ba'olam. How do you do chesed in this world? What do our rabbis say? They say, Rak im echad, im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ultimate person or being to do chesed with is with Hashem. Because Eitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Hashem, Yish Dovar Echad, there's one thing, Shekiv Yachol Ein Lo'oto, that Kiv Yachol Zeif Hashem doesn't have. V'gam Eino Yachol La'sigol, and Hashem can't even access it. V'rak Adam Yachol La'teitlo, and only a man can give this to Hashem. So you ask yourself, well, what is this thing that Hashem doesn't have, Hashem can't have, and only we can give to Hashem? Mahu? Hashleimus shehu yotzer bishuto. Perfecting ourselves. Kishadam mitakein umashlim et atzmo. When we work on ourselves, oseh et atzmo ladam tov yoter, or make ourselves a better person. Zeu davar shekadosh baruch hu mitzio kivyochol eino yachol lasot. This is something kivyochol Hashem can't do. Because if Hashem would make me, would Hashem make me a better person, then either be a robot or a malach, I wouldn't be a person. What is it that we have that's special and unique? That is our ability, lahanatcha l'tofatcha, to recognize that mitzvos and chesed is to build up myself, to make myself a more compassionate person, to make myself a more sensitive person. Now obviously, Avraham Avinu has to do these things in order to be able to be successful in this. But if Hashem wanted him just to do achnasat orchim, Hashem could build hotels everywhere for all these people. Hashem doesn't have to have poor people. The reason why we have opportunities to do chesed, yes, there's an aspect of helping others, but don't in any way diminish the aspect of helping ourselves. And it's interesting, Rafinkus, it's a much larger essay, but he notes in 38, he said, if you take a look at our generation, he says, we've reached the moon. With a press of a button, you know, you can do anything. You know, I used to be, you know, when I went to graduate school, I had a very, very important class on how kids cheat. It was one of those fascinating classes that I ever took. You know, particularly the regents. It's like Gvaldik. You know, you put the smart kid up front. I don't know why I'm saying this publicly, but here goes. And, you know, the first kid stretches. And he goes like this, and then, you know, the first answer is B. And, you know, the whole thing, it was like a panic, how you can have the entire test, you know, in code, how kids could cheat. That's when I went to graduate school. Years later, and that's why recently when I was teaching high school, we told kids no watches, no electronic equipment, no nothing. You could put all the information on your watch, on a tiny disc. Who needs to stretch anymore? That's antiquated. Who needs hands, you know? I have my watch. It has everything in it. Just scroll down. Yeah, it rings. We live in a world of such sophistication. But says Rafinkus, with all of our sophistication, ve'ilu ha'adam atzmo yored ve'yored ha'binyan she'noshut boner hu'al chashvon minyan ishiutam. But look at human beings. Have we improved or have we steadily gone down in our morals and ethics and the way we behave? And we just have to look outside our window to be able to see exactly what he means on how far we've stooped in terms of our moral values. And notes Rav Pinkus, Lamitosha Davar, the truth be told, he says, unfortunately, in the Olam HaTorah, we have this great disparity as well. You can have a person who's involved in learning Torah all day, doing chesed all day, and he's building tremendous buildings. But what about him? Has he really built up himself? And these are two different worlds. The outer world of what we've done so often doesn't impact on who we are, and that we don't build ourselves up simultaneously. We don't realize it's lahanatcha l'tovatcha, it's for our best good, that we should be good people, that we should be caring people, that we should develop our personality. And that's how he explains the Gemara of Rav Chanan ben Trajan 39-41. When Rav Yosef ben Kisma asked him, is there anything that you can think of? What he's saying to him, is there anything out of the ordinary that will be a reflection of who you are? Not what you've built. All the learning is what you've built. But I want something that's going to reflect who you are. When you didn't recognize this thing with the stucca and you didn't have intention to give that $500, but you give it anyway, that's a reflection of who you are. And when we talk about who you are, the essence, how your sensitivity, how your giving takes over who and what you are, that's the indication of the essence of the person. And this, my friends, I think is a tremendous challenge, that when we look ourselves in the mirror and we ask, who are we? So often our response is, I am someone who has accomplished X, Y, and Z. This is what I've done. Right? Human doings. But we're not called human doings. We're called human beings. Who are we in our essence? When push comes to shove, when everything is exposed, what is our core? Have we built up this core? That's the first command to Avraham Avinu. Lech lecha. Go into your core. La'anatcha l'tovatcha. This is ultimately for your benefit and for your good. Rafinkus gives a number of mycene here of individuals who show this idea of core. One which is a pretty famous story is the mycene. It's a very famous story of, but worth repeating, of a couple who doesn't have children. And the man is told that if he goes to a certain Rebbe in Bnei Brak and gets a maftir chana, so then it's a skula to have a child. So he goes to the Rebbe and asked him, you know, can he get maftir chana? And the Rebbe said, yes, come Rosh Hashanah to my shul, and you'll get maftir chana. And it's a skula, you'll have a child. So the guy, you know, comes to Bnei Brak for yantif, and he's davening in the shul Rosh Hashanah night, and he's standing in the back. Clearly he doesn't fit in with this Hasidic crowd here. And there's another fellow standing in the back. And he starts a couple conversations, like two strangers. No, you're from here? No. Why are you here? I'm here because I heard that if you get maftir chana, you'll be benched with children, and I want children. The guy who was promised maftir chana, the guy who the Rebbe said, come to my shul, I'll give it to you, realized that tomorrow there's going to be a problem. Both of them are going to want the same haftarah. Even though he was promised it, he went to a different shul to let this other fellow get maftir chana. And Rafinka says he knows this individual personally, and this guy who went to a different shul had a little girl that year. Because I don't know about the other guy, but this person had a child this year. Why? Because the essence is about when no one's looking, when no one's around, who is your core being? What are you really made up of? That's the chesed. That's a person who's worked on his personality, even though this is the most beloved thing for him. And he was promised maftir chana, he steps out of the picture and gives it over to his total stranger. That's the litmus test that we have to look for. And here, my friends, in a beautiful sefer called Asara Nisyonos, which takes the 10 tests of Abraham and contemporizes them, the Nisyon of Shiduchin, the Nisyon of Sargid Obanim, 10 different Nisyonos. He says, Lech lecha, the Nisyon is, Haya haderech litalot shel Avraham Avinu, is the way Avraham Avinu was supposed to grow further and further. Linatek mikol havar, to remove himself from the path, v'atchil chayim chadashim lechelutim, and start anew. Because chutz mitzvot ma'isiyot, aside from the practical mitzvot, yesh bechleit gam b'yad, or a kavanah l'smicha ruchani, there's also a concept of growing spiritually. And he says, nachon yoter v'haya lomar lo chutz mitzvot ma'isiyot, elo b'tocha mitzvot ma'isiyot. Truth be told, he said, it's not separate from the mitzvot, it's our ruchani side, it's our spiritual side, it's b'toch, it's a mitzvot. Shekein tzmicha ruchani v'avodah ruchani v'kayam mitzvot einam shnei dvarim nifradim el shnei dvarim nogim u'shulavim zepaseh. Here's our big problem. You know, we think that we have to be spiritual, and that's like, you know, a karbach minyan, and then we do mitzvot, and that's technical, and the twain shall never meet. No, they're one and the same. Mitzvot are la'natcha l'tovatcha, they are for our benefit. They are for our good. The mitzvot themselves are to make us spiritual people. That's the challenge of mitzvot. That's the goal of mitzvot. Through mitzvot observance, we become more sensitive, more developed, La'anatcha l'tovatcha, we work on ourselves. And here, the Sefer Sar Nisyonos says in 45, Lech lecha is el nishmatcha, go to your soul. And the language in the Siva Shalom in 48 is el yu'utcha, to your destiny. Continuing in 45, he says, that in 46, he says, this is the way Rav Nachman Mibreslov's chief student, Rav Nosson, defined Lech lecha. Lech el atzmacha, 46, go to yourself, which means, go and search for the meaning and the destiny of your neshama. Ma'artzacha. In order to do that, you have to leave and separate yourself from the artzios, from the physicality of this world. Leave umimoladatacha, which means from your birth, which means your tchunos, your characteristics that you were born with, your teva, the certain natural instincts that you have. And mibeit avicha, your family, your friends, leave all those negative influences and be able to create yourselves. In 47, mikol achizel ta'ela, the tchunot v'argelim ofi, chinuch v'ashva'a srivatit, mukulam alech lishtachrer amanat letzeit l'masa muflam mukulam al nishmatcha. And the Siva Shalom speaks about how stafka, through your past, you are going to be able not to leave your past, but through your past, you elevate yourself to become this unique individual. You take the best of everything around you, but you're not an automaton. You're not, you know, a certain way because that's the way you were brought up and that's why your grandparents were and your great-grandparents, and what do you want from you? You know, it's like the roast that was always cut because the oven was too small, so you cut your roast because your mom and your grandmother and great-grandmother never cut the roast. And this poor roast is being thrown in the garbage because their oven was too small. Don't fall into that pitfall. Use the best of what you have from your past, but be able to shape yourself, form yourself, create yourself, that you are a unique individual, that you can be able to say, Lech Lecha, that I go unto myself, I have been able to develop myself. And I think the way Rav Freifeld Zatzal, in his Sefer, Rav Freifeld speaks, describes this, is really the epitome and the goal for us to work toward. And it's a Beferish Apostle that we say a couple of times a day in 49. Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha, praise are those who sit and dwell in your house. Ol Jalucha Sela, more will they praise you forever. And he says, what's this idea of more, of old? So he says in Source 50, the praise of a person, what do these praises refer to? They refer to the excellence of a person, the brilliance, the shine, the glow, the achievement of the optimum, the ultimate expansion of his being. When does a person shine brightest? When is he at the point of fullest expansion? Not when he's wealthy, not when he's famous, not when he can indulge in all of his desires for pleasure. A person's at the greatest when he's making maximum use of his divinely endowed abilities. That's when a person reaches true excellence. The measure of excellence is in the power of Ode. When a person is more, when he is an expanded state of being. And when do we become in this expanded state of being in 51? When we're Yoshvei Beisecha, when we're a world of Torah, when we're surrounded by a Torah mindset. Our goal is to be Ode. Our goal is to take our path and enter into a dimension of oldness, of expansiveness, where we have a sense of ourselves and we're constantly growing and we're constantly developing and we're constantly becoming greater and greater, unlimited, more fulfilled. That sounds great. How can we all don't do this? How can we don't all look like oldness, moreness, and we're all walking around flying on air that we can't even contain ourselves because we're working on becoming greater and greater? So one of the biggest problems is something called hergo, something called routine. From rego, what we're used to walking, the turf that we're used to being on. And because the way Rav Freifeld describes it, he says, on the one hand, in 53, a person wants to rise in order to be fulfilled. On the other hand, his habits constrain him to a narrow pathway and do not allow him to explore new territory easily. So how can he rise? It's only by challenging and forcing and breaking the force of habit. And he gives a great maisa in 54. He says for Freifeld, Once he saw Rosh Hashanah, a Talmid Chacham, schlepping a big box of Pepsi to the yeshiva building. And he's saying to himself, Erev Rosh Hashanah, this Talmid Chacham has nothing on his head except a big box of Pepsi. And he says to him, what are you doing? He says, I can't have my Rosh Hashanah meal without Pepsi. And Rav Freifeld said, I thought about this for a long time. And then I realized that when we're caught in a rut called Hergel, if you don't have your Pepsi, you can't have Rosh Hashanah. And that's what's on the forefront of your mind, Erev Rosh Hashanah. Though we all have our Pepsis, my friends. We all have our constraints. We all have, but I'm not used to doing it this way. And why would you want me to do this? This is the way I'm used to doing it. And we're so accustomed, and we're so into a rut, that it's very hard to break out of it. So how do we reach this level of Ode? How do we reach Lahanatcha, L'tovatcha? How do we reach this level of working and expanding ourselves and feeling the presence of ourselves and the goodness and sweetness that this entails? 55, what are you supposed to do? We all want to do the right thing. We all want to rise to ever higher levels of spirituality. We all want to be fulfilled, to enjoy happiness and satisfaction. So David HaMelech gives us the formula. First, we need to strive for a sense of moreness, an expansion of our souls by coming close to the Torah, by continuing to work on L'hanatcha L'tovatcha, by continuing to be sensitive that we're building ourselves. And as we spoke about earlier, being able to focus in on the larger picture. The larger picture is not just this moment, but how can I build myself? How can I be an old being, a more praiseworthy being? And the second, which is the next pasuk in Tehillim, Ashrei Adam Oz Lovach, praises of the person whose strength is in you. We are limited, but Oz Bach, Kadosh Baruch Hu is unlimited energy. We need to daven. We need to say to Hashem, I am so constrained. I'm so caught in my Pepsis of my life. I can't break out of it. Hashem, help me. Help me break out of these routines. Help me leave my Eretz. Help me leave my Maladcha, my Beit Avicha. And help me be able to reach high levels. Rav Freifeld tells a maisa of a boy who says, I really want to learn. The only problem is I don't wake up before 11 o'clock. That's it. 11 a.m. is the earliest I wake up. Freifeld says, this person now, the Talmid Chacham, wakes up at 5 a.m. You have to daven. You have to know what you're aiming for. And you'll be successful. But if you walk in the dark and you don't turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're just going to be tripping over our same feet our whole lives. And the Kovas of Tamidim, in concluding this essay on what is the goal of a Talmid, of a student, he says, Nar Bachur Yisrael Lomei Torah V'Dareshet Hashem Kakaton Kakadol. Akol Achad Mikem, and each one of you, Achov Mutal L'Galot Mikirbo. It's incumbent upon all of you to reveal your inners. At Nishmat Yisrael, your soul, V'Lasot Et Atzmo La'amud, and make for yourself a pillar that all of Beis Yisrael Yishayin Allah. When you're able to recognize who you are, then you're able to be strong enough that Klal Yisrael can rely upon you, because none of us can ever move away from that responsibility that I don't need to take a major role within my family and within my community. But the only way that I can be relied upon is if I indeed know who I am and what I'm made up of. And therefore, my friends, in summation, Lech Lecha, that you should go Lahanatcha L'tovatcha for your benefit and for your good. The first level, ignore the benefit and the good, do it for the will of God. Second level, that's how you work on your Yetzirah. The third level, no, it's the benefit and the good of utilizing it for the service of God, all your monetary things. The fourth level, to believe that God will give it to you. And the ultimate level, no, it is Lahanatcha L'tovatcha. There's nothing greater than to realize that doing God's command makes you a better person. You benefit from it. You grow from it. This is the one and only thing that we can give Kivyachol Kodesh Baruch Hu that he can't give himself, and that is giving of ourselves. My bracha to all of us, my friends, is that when we do mitzvahs, we shouldn't see ourselves as a mitzvah being and a spiritual being as two different beings, but we're one and the same, and that the spiritual reality should come forth in all the mitzvah observance that we do, and that we should understand that life is about expansion, about oldness, moreness, to break out of our hergel, to break out of our routine, to be able to appreciate what potential that we have, that we can be able to feel the chavivus, the endearment, the closeness to Hashem, be able to understand our goal in this world to fight the Yetzer Hara, and ultimately to be a pillar that people can rely upon.